All right, welcome back to Talking Baseball. Kerry Crowley back here with you, and it's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest, Cardinals and the Cubs, out at Wrigley Field today, and here to break down the Cardinals' win streak, Katie Wu of The Athletic, longtime friend of the show. Katie, how are you on this fine Saturday?
Kerry, I'm enjoying what is just a beautiful day in Chicago. It feels like fall. It feels like September. It's very fitting as we head into the postseason.
Well, you are covering the story of baseball right now. The Giants and the Dodgers are in a historic battle for the National League West, but everyone is focused on what the St. Louis Cardinals have done. 14 consecutive victories. The last time we had you on, we thought it would be the last time we had you on this season. The Cardinals were essentially irrelevant. They were failing out of the National League wildcard race, and all of a sudden, St. Louis is the team no one wants to play. What has changed over the last two, 3 weeks?
You know, I think the easy answer is everything. I mean, this Cardinals team had always had pieces that were good, right? That at one point, they had a solid rotation when it wasn't decimated by injuries. They had slowly but surely revamped their bullpen with some veteran guys like T.J. McFarland and Luis Garcia, who would help solidify their relief corps over there. Their offense, they had the guys, right? They had Paul Goldschmidt. They had Nolan Arenado. They believed in guys like Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson. And out of nowhere, it just started clicking, and this team is absolutely surging. I mean, September 7th, they had less than a 3% chance of making the playoffs. Today, they entered at 99.7%. They can clinch the wild card by Sunday if they win two and the Phillies lose two. It's just, you know, we talk about this all the time, and this team has said, even in June, which was a dreadful month for them, even in July, which was marginally better but still not great, you know, we're going to get hot. We're going to get hot come September, and when we do, no team is going to want to play us. And you hear that, and you look at where they are, barely a 500 team, lots of injuries. They've been without their most dynamic pitcher in Jack Flaherty for the majority of the year. And you just think, you know, probably not. They have to say that. No one's going to admittedly go up there and admit that they're giving up. But they're probably not going to do that. And then they did. They've done it behind guys like Adam Wainwright. They've done it behind guys like John Lester. Jay Happ has also fit in really well since the trade deadline. They just, all of a sudden, like they have been saying and advertising all season long, got hot. And now guess what? No team wants to face them in September. What they've done is remarkable. They've whipped off 7 series against postseason foes, have mowed down the Mets, they mowed down the Padres, and came in and mowed down the Brewers, and they don't look to be stopping anytime soon.
I remember the last time we had you on, Katie, you know, everyone in St. Louis was wondering when Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado would get hot at the same time. Goldschmidt would have a good month, Arenado would have a bad month, and Arenado would have a great month, and Goldschmidt would really struggle at the plate. Now both of those players are hitting the ball well, and you combine that with Tyler O'Neill, who is hitting as well as anyone in the major leagues right now. Just how dynamic has this lineup become with that kind of three-headed monster leading the way?
I think dynamic is the perfect way to describe these guys. I mean, as of yesterday, Paul Goldschmidt and Tyler O'Neill hit both of their 30th home runs of the season. That they joined Nolan Arenado now as 3 players on the Cardinals to have 30 home runs or more. That hasn't happened since 2004 when they had Albert Pujols, Jim Edmonds, and Scott Rowland. So it has been a while since we heard those names. What's really happened with these guys is they've fully bought into the Cardinals' offensive approach, which has faced a lot of scrutiny, especially in the first half of the season when it wasn't yielding a lot of results. But the Cardinals have a very simple hitting approach to the point where it may sound oversimple. It is, see a pitch you like, swing really hard. And for a long time, they were leaders in expected slugging percentage, expected average, and had nothing to really back that up because those were just, you know, expected numbers. But they really bought in, they really trusted the results would come around, and they have. You know, what Paul Goldschmidt has done in the second half of the season, he has single-handedly, I think, turned the lineup around. Nolan Arenado has gotten really hot in September, and Tyler O'Neill is fully coming into form. So front office had always believed that Tyler could be a 40-40 kind of player. They were really high on him. He's a 5-tool guy. Gold Glove winner last year. The offense just needed work, specifically the chase rate and the strikeout rate. He has done, I think, a much better job this season of eliminating the chase pitches that he was so, I think, was so detrimental in 2020, right? So he's really made a more fine-tuned approach. He still swings very hard, as we know, but I think that having a better selection, knowing his swing type, knowing the kind of pitches that he can do damage with, has led to that success. So really, I think those 3 guys there are just kind of symbolic of what the whole Cardinals lineup has really taken into approach at the plate.
Katie, you know, when the Cardinals were hovering around 500, as they were for much of the season, the biggest issue with the pitching staff was the walk rate. The Cardinals pitchers, specifically out of their bullpen, were just not throwing strikes. Has that changed? Is there personnel changes that have been made? Is there a philosophical approach that has been adopted over the last few weeks that has kind of led to more success from the pitching staff? What, in your mind, has enabled that group to get things together?
No, that's a great point. Really, the first half has been the walks. I mean, they've led the majors in walks by a long shot in the first half of the season. What's happened is they've taken these guys that didn't have a lot of control or command, and they've essentially gotten rid of them. They traded John Gant, Yelan Oviedo, who they're still really high on. He's a pretty young prospect, was optioned back to the minors, and they replaced him with strike throwers in T.J. McFarland and Luis Garcia. They have ground ball guys that can be, when you have a defense behind you, that is Nolan Arenado and Tommy Edman and Paul Goldschmidt or Paul DeJong and Amundo Sosa at shortstop. You know, you can afford to get to pitch for contact. So that's really helped them solidify the walk rate. You know, I thought John Lester said it very, very well a couple weeks ago when he says, you know, you can't have these extra base runners. If you limit the base runners, you'll be much more successful in September, but you can't afford to give free passes at this time of the year. So the Cardinals overall had really focused on eliminating their walk rate, getting the pitchers that had high walk rates out of the organization or in different roles where they could thrive a little bit better, and have brought in reinforcements like McFarland and Garcia, probably their two most underrated moves of the entire year, both picked up in free agency, and switched Alex Reyes to a more multi-inning role and put Giovanni Gallegos in as their closer. And the results, they've been almost striking from the first half to the second half, and limiting the walks is a huge, huge reason why.
Katie Wu joining us here. She covers the Cardinals for The Athletic, does a great job. And as we mentioned, had Katie on several times throughout the season. This Cardinals team, this discussion about the Cardinals has changed so much over the last 3 weeks, Katie. But one thing that's been consistent all season with St. Louis is the defense. And we talked about the walk rate, cutting that down. These pitchers are throwing strikes. They're keeping it in the ballpark. The only team to allow fewer home runs in the National League than the Giants. And this defense has been there all season long.
It has been, and defense has always been a huge characteristic of the St. Louis Cardinals, no matter what era you are looking at. It's something they really pride themselves in, and it's played a direct part in their surge here. I mean, we kind of touched on it, but these pitchers, whether you're a starter or reliever, no matter your role, they go out there knowing, I don't have to pitch for the strikeout. I can pitch for contact, and those guys behind me in all facets, they're gonna have my back. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say the Cardinals could have up to 5 gold glovers this year when you look who they have on the infield corners. You look at Tyler O'Neill, you look at Harrison Bader, who just reached the amount of innings to qualify for the Gold Glove Award and looks to be the favorite there. And then you have a Hall of Famer behind the plate, Yadier Molina. I think the defense and Yadier's composure and his ability to communicate with his pitchers have led to just, again, striking differences in the first half and the second half. I don't think you can say enough about what the defense does to bring the confidence to pitchers. After every post-game session, one of the first things any starting pitcher says is, I just go out there and I try to execute because I know that if I do, the defense behind me has my back. And it's been proven all year long. Defense has always been a prize trait in this Cardinals organization, and you can see exactly why it starts to pay off.
So before we let you go here, let's talk a little bit about a potential wild card game. Cardinals will obviously be on the road facing either the Giants or the Dodgers in that game. Cardinals, as you mentioned, have a chance to clinch as soon as Sunday. It may happen early next week. Will they set Adam Wainwright up to start that game?
I don't think there's a question about it. Adam Wainwright has been their most trusted pitcher all year long. He's emerging as a dark horse Cy Young candidate. He's just... to do it in his 40-year-old season in a spot where he's pitching like his old 27, 28-year-old self, I think it's just very fitting. I don't think there's anyone else out there that they would prefer to have except Adam Wainwright. But the best thing about wild card game, Carrie, is that if something goes wrong, you throw everyone you possibly have out there. So they could throw Jack Flaherty out there for a couple of innings. They got Dakota Hudson back yesterday, a year after Tommy John surgery. They could throw him out there for a couple of innings. And if things go really off the rails, you have John Lester, who's quite familiar in how to notch up important postseason performances. So I think if all things go according to plan, you throw Adam Wainwright in there and you don't need anybody else. But, you know, you never know. It's called the wild card, right?
Well, if the Giants get in the wild card game and everyone in San Francisco wants to avoid it, I think the one guy that they don't want to see coming out of that St. Louis bullpen is Kwang Hung Kim, who had two outstanding starts against the Giants this season. Hard to believe that he's in that St. Louis bullpen. I mean, he could be kind of Mike Schilt's X factor there, but if the Cardinals are trying to close things out in a wild card game, what do the 7th, 8th, 9th innings look like in that St. Louis bullpen right now?
I think it looks pretty much exactly how it's done for the second half. You have TJ McFarland, who's their 7th inning setup guy. He's the patented double play guy. We always joke that TJ gives us a hit each time just so he can get the double play that he's used to. The 8th inning usually belongs to Luis Garcia, who at one point owned the longest consecutive streak without allowing a run to score in the majors. That was from the All-Star break until just a couple of weeks ago. And then the 9th we'll have Giovanni Gallegos' name all over it. He's really shined since moving in the closer's role last month to take over Alex Reyes' spot. He's been pretty much lifed out in that role. So I think their bullpen in the 7th, 8th, 9th, why mess it up? You've had TJ McFarland, Luis Garcia, and Gio at the head of that this entire time. That's probably the way that they'll go in the wildcard game.
Well, like I said, the Cardinals, a fascinating story, and no one doing a better job chronicling it all than Katie Wu. Katie, thank you so much for joining us here on Talkin' Baseball.
Carrie, as always, it's a wonderful time. Thanks so much.
All right, a lot more coming up next. Marty, Bill, and Carrie, you're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.